Welcome to this episode of Sexopedia, where we will explore the world of sex coaching with Leanna Walden, a previous film producer turned passionate advocate for sexual well-being. Leanna's own journey of self-discovery, coupled with her determination to help others, led her to embark on a new path as a sex coach. In this episode, we will delve into the fascinating world of sex coaching and dive deep into sex in a relationship. Well, welcome, Leanna. Could you please tell us a bit more about you?
Well, my name is Leanna Walden. Hello, nice to meet you.
Hello, Leanna.
I have been working in the field of sex and relationship, coaching, counseling, sexual energy healing for the past over 15 years. And I help people find, basically help people find pleasure in their sex, their sexual, in their sexual relationships, in their sexual selves, in their love life, and in their life in general.
Great, Leanna. So what inspired you to become a sex coach?
Well, I think I've always been interested in the idea of sexuality, probably most of my life, even as a young girl, but I didn't really have, you know, an understanding of what that meant or really what was going on for me. But when I was married, my first marriage, my husband, after we were married for about 13 years, he came out as bisexual. So we had been in this monogamous relationship. It was a really, you know, it was a fabulous relationship, and we had a pretty good sex life. You know, I thought we had a pretty good sex life. But then things were starting to break down, and I was also a documentary filmmaker at that time, and I had met this woman who was a sex coach. And I was learning from her, and I wanted to do a show with her. And at the same time, my husband was coming out as bisexual. So all of these things were happening at the same time. And I was also wanting to change my career. I was working in film at the time. I was producing documentaries, but I just wanted to do something else. I'd been working in film for a very, very long time. And so she inspired me a lot, and things within my own life were changing. As I was learning from her, these were changing, topics were coming up that, you know, documentary film topics actually were coming up that were kind of all related as well. And at one point I just decided, you know what, I really like what she's doing. I want to learn more about this. I want to dive into this more. And so I did. And my husband coming out as bisexual was a really big start, because we had to decide what to do at that point. I had to decide, am I going to stay with him? Am I going to leave? What am I going to do? And I decided to stay. And we decided then to open our relationship. And we started on an exploration. So that's how, sort of like a fast version of what happened. And as we started to explore, and I started to look, try to find information, there wasn't a lot around men, you know, your husband who's bisexual. What do you do when you find out your husband's bisexual? There was not really very much good information. Most of the information was quite negative. But I felt like, well, this doesn't have to be a negative scenario. I mean, he's got some desires he wants to explore. And I, at the time as well, was feeling like, well, I've been married 13 years. You know, there's got to be something else we can do together. So this really inspired me to say, let's open the relationship and see where this is going to go. Because I don't want to say, no, don't do what you really desire. I want to actually explore myself. And so as that was opening, and we were exploring him, and I was trying to do research, and we were talking to people, and I started to have people contact me and just ask me, what do you do? What did you do? How did you do this? And I started writing about it, and he started writing about it. And I guess my blog started attracting a lot of attention because I came with a very positive perspective.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Please keep going. Yeah, so just sometimes, like, when a situation like your husband or the other spouse come out with as a bisexual or has a major switch on his or her, like, sexuality, there will be some stigmas surrounded. But as you said, it doesn't have to be, like, something, you know, negative. And I really love, like, how your self-exploration journey and eventually sublime to into something that's really helpful for other people, like providing helpful and educational information for people that are dealing with different issues related to their sexuality or within the relationship. I think that's great work.
Well, it happened quite organically. But I was, we were both having a really, really good time. And I just kept thinking, like, I don't understand why people are putting down this kind of scenario, putting down men who are bisexual. There's still a lot of difficulty for men who are bisexual. There's a lot of depression for men who are bisexual because they don't really know, you know, who am I? Am I not really gay, but I feel this kind of attraction to men. I want to explore, but I don't want to be looked at in a strange way. And so he actually started to write a book. And then we put a play on, and we started touring around and just talking to people after the play about, you know, talking to them about the story of the play, which was about him coming out as bisexual and us opening our relationship, and then just asking others to share. And it was really, really a beautiful time because there weren't many people actually talking about that, especially a couple that had been together in a long-term relationship, and we had kids, and we were ready to go on a new adventure together, right? So we had a lot of people in audiences all over. Well, we did the play in different cities in North America. Just really, really so touched to be able to share some of their stories and to hear people talking very honestly and open about an alternative kind of way of living, of having a relationship, basically, instead of being, you know, feeling like they had to be stuck in this box of, you know, heterosexual monogamous long term. Oh, wow, there's actually options. And and so we just kept exploring, experimenting. And then I started taking classes and looking out for other people that were involved in doing something similar kinds of work around sexuality and learning from these people. And at the same time, I had people contacting me, interested to know what to do. And so that was the whole beginning in the process of my journey and my journey into continuing my exploration around sexuality, but also my journey into helping others that were just entering into their exploration.
Very inspiring story, I'd like to say. And if you don't mind me asking, how's things going with you and your husband at the moment?
Well, we actually were together for 23 years. We opened the relationship around 13 year mark, and then we had amazing 10 years. And then we were kind of just wanting to do different things. We were going in different directions. And we just decided it was time to go do our own things for a while. We were really, really deeply in with each other, you know, in our work, in our social life, in our togetherness. And we kept talking about, oh, we need a break, we need to like get some space. And so eventually it was like, yeah, okay, it's time for the space to happen. And so we went our own ways, and I went on another journey, basically. You know, I really believe, like, in our life, like, you can live to be 100 90 100 now, right? You can have many lifetimes, you can have many start rebirths, let's say, and start something very new and different. And I think, you know, I look at my marriage as extremely, extremely successful, very fun. And yeah, I moved on into another experience. But I still work very, very deeply with sexuality and relationships. It's something that I'm very, very excited about and interested in. And I think there's a lot of things that people still want to learn and need to know. And there's a lot of fear still. I work a lot around with energy now, especially, you know, feminine sexual energy and masculine sexual energy, and how we can tap into our own energy and our own pleasure so that we can start to generate that pleasure within ourselves and then radiate it out into the world and to our partners. And so really getting into sort of more deeper kind of exploration, the deeper levels of energetics.
And as a sex coach, I think you've been through a long, not only self-exploration journey, but also in general learning about human sexuality in real life. And I believe that's something really inspiring. But there's something always that just confused me a bit, is I don't know, what does a sex coach do, like, to help people enhance their sex life? Could you please explain to our audience, like, a bit, a bit like, as a sex coach, what would you usually do to help us enhance our sex life?
Well, I it's a very holistic approach. So I work on many different levels of, you know, emotional, but sex is very physical. It's our body is a big part of sexuality, and a big part that we're missing with a lot of us is that we're not so deeply connected to our body. So I do a lot of embodiment work, a lot of breathing techniques to sort of get the energy moving in the body so that you can connect to your sexual desire. So there's a lot of exercises that I will do that are physical with people. Like, I'll give them exercises, you know, physical exercises they can do to start getting their body to come alive again.
Yeah.
Getting themselves out of their head. You know, there's a worry that goes around, I can't perform, or I something's wrong with me. I feel that, you know, I have this kind of weird thing I want to do. And they're like, you know, some people are going to think I'm weird, or my partner's going to think I'm weird. And just getting out of their head and dropping into their body. So there's a lot of aspects of my work is working with people, giving them physical things to do, breathing, sound techniques, movement techniques, and things like that. And we do a lot of talking as well, because a lot of people are also holding some deep levels of trauma around sexuality. Yeah. And it could be something that happened in this lifetime. But I also strongly believe, like, that you could be holding on to ancestral stuff, especially around the feminine, well, masculine too, but, you know, the feminine is holding on to generations of repression around sexuality. So we go into there, and we sort of tap into different places within that you're holding on to that energy that needs to be released and to opened up, you know, so that comes through conversation and deeper sort of exploration. And so it's more like therapy, let's say. And then when I'm working with couples, I will always give couples exercises that they do together. We'll meet, and then I'll send them off with an exercise, homework, let's say, sex homework. So, or intimacy homework or something, you know, so that they're doing some homework on their own to sort of be able to tap into their own desires and their own connection with their body. But also I want them to connect in a different way as a couple as well. So some intimacy exercises usually, and it's just sort of, it's very subtle kind of things that maybe they've never been exposed to before, because they're kind of sitting with this old traditional concept of what sex is. And it's vast. It's a vast area, dimension, that I like slowly want to show people that this is big. And then it's also very personal about what it is that you feel and that you desire and the direction that you want to go, and to find that, and then work on ways that they can then express it, you know, so they can let their partners know, well, I really desire doing this or that, you know, and so that you can start communicating about what gets you excited, what turns you on, what you want to do. So lots of different levels I work with people, and yeah, we have to really get people dropping into their body and feeling their bodies and connecting to what's really going on at a deeper level.
Yeah. And I'm very curious about, like, what are the most common intimacy issues you encounter in your coaching practice for couples or like single people?
Well, let's say couples, it's very common are kind of the different levels of libido.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he wants a lot of sex and she doesn't, or vice versa. She wants and he doesn't. And it's usually, you know, there's a lot of layers that go along with that, because maybe he wants a lot of sex, but they've been doing the same kind of sex for 15 years and she's just so bored she doesn't want it anymore. It's not that she doesn't want sex. She just is so bored with what they're doing. So, you know, we'll go into exploring what's been happening, how it's being approached. And usually, you know, when I feel that, okay, she actually does want sex, because she might even admit to it, but she's just, you know, she's not into what they've been doing. I'll just say, we're going to start over. We're going to start over with something very different and reconnect, because when you're in a long-term relationship, you cannot keep doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable. It just, you know, you can't keep wearing the same socks for your entire life, you know? Mm-hmm. You have to change them. You have to buy something new. You have to explore something new. It's even with anything that we do, you're not going to do the same job. Well, most people are not going to do the same job for their entire life. They're going to either get promoted or they're going to leave and do something else. Especially nowadays, people are moving around, doing all sorts of kind of different kinds of exciting work and getting different challenges. And it's the same within in the sexual intimate relationship. It needs to change up. It needs to go in different directions. You have to tap into different desires that you're going through. You know, those desires kind of burn out. And so you need to build a new fire, right?
Yeah.
So that's a very common issue for couples. Yeah.
What are the approaches that you would suggest, like couples they face this kind of issue to do?
What should they do?
Yes, like what should they do to overcome this situation? Because unmatched libido is a really common issue. I talked to another relationship coach the other day, and she mentions like the same like issue between couples, because a lot of times, as you said, it's many layers. Probably it's relationship issue, or it's stresses from life and different roles that people play in a relationship or in life. For example, someone is the is more like the bread supporter in a family, probably go through a lot of pressure in life, so he or she may just don't want to have sex or has a low libido for any reasons. But this kind of like unmatched libido will cause a lot of problems in relationships, especially if it's like a long-term situation. So what are the common approaches that you would suggest as a sex coach for couples like this? Yeah.
Well, you know, of course, every single couple is going to be dealing with something different. And it can be things like someone is still sitting in old traumas, and we have to find ways to release that so they can then tap into their sexual self again, you know. But I really don't believe that the default has to be no sex. So I will talk in depth with both people. Usually when I do sessions, like I'll do programs with people, I will break it up between, you know, seeing her and then seeing him and then seeing them together, and just to really find out what's going on. We'll really get down to just being really honest, put everything on the table, let's say, everything on the table about what you're really feeling right now about your sex life and what you're feeling about sex and all of that, and coming up with a plan that works for both of you. It can mean, and I've just had such a variety of different situations, but it can mean from, you know, wiping the slate and starting fresh, and then maybe exploring sexuality in a more tantric kind of way. So it's more energetic, it's more conscious sexuality. So you're going way slower, you're just sort of connecting slowly, and I have lots of exercises for that. And it does make a big difference, because both of them are now going on a different kind of journey. Or it might be a situation, another completely extreme, where, you know, one of the partners just doesn't want sex anymore. It's just not interested anymore at this point. And the other one really wants to. So we work a plan where one of them can find other ways of having sex, meeting other people, maybe having a service provider every once in a while just to satisfy the needs. I mean, it really, really depends on what the couple's ready for. Yeah. But even, you know, in that situation where the couple really wants to stay together, they love each other, maybe they have kids. If one of them is just so frustrated because they're not feeling the intimacy that they require, if, you know, if there's something that you can do for it, it really helps to calm the relationship down, helps both of them relax more. So we want to find a place that's going to be the best for both of them. And maybe, you know, I don't try and get to a scenario where they split up and they go their own ways, but sometimes it might be like that too, if it's just not working and they can't come to a decision. And, you know, we'll go into whatever directions are possible. And sure. I have a lot of tools in my box to try and find solutions so that they can stay together and make it work. A lot of tools. And I've met so many couples, and every couple I know has a different scenario. I mean, it's really about, let's create a relationship that works for the two of you. Just forget about anything you've ever heard about relationships, and let's create something for you guys.
Yes, yes, I agree. And sometimes when we hear this kind of story, like someone allows her husband to sleep with another woman, it might sound like mind-blowing in the very beginning, but if you really dig deep into the story, you found like it's actually logical in some ways.
Yeah.
One phrase you use that think about you, we need to have sex probably with the person for 15 years, or even if you're probably getting married with this person for a lifetime, like that's probably 50 years into it, you're going to have sex with this person, right? And
Yeah.
there are going to be a lot of things along the way. As you said, someone, they have have a really lovely family, that they have kids and everything. They don't want to separate. Sex life is an issue between them. Like one of them wants it, the other one doesn't want it for many reasons. As we just mentioned, it's probably pressure from life, or just getting bored, or just, you know, like hormone stuff at a certain age that people stop getting interested or excited about sex. And the other party will need an exit. That really depends on how you and your partner like think about this. Do you think it's okay for the other party just to go out and find even the service provider, or have a masturbator cup or whatever, just to
Yeah.
help him or her release? Is that okay? And I think, but there's still a difference between cheating and having this sort of agreement. I think it must be like mutually agreed, like, hey, you really have an honest conversation between each other, like, hey, this is how I feel. I'm at a point that I'm extremely frustrated, and this is what I need. Is there any possibility that we can get on the same page? If you get consent and you get a mutual agreement from your partner, then I say it's way to go and it's not hurting anyone. But if it's not case, I think cheating is still something quite unethical, yeah, from my perspective.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think honesty is really the best solution for everything. And if this is your intimate partner, you know, the person you're the most intimate with, and you can't be honest with them, and there's all this fear that they're going to leave, or they're going to judge you or blame you or hurt you, and you know, I don't know. It's very difficult to be in that kind of a relationship, you know, where you can't really truly be yourself. So I really try to help people find a place where they can, you know, be in a safe space of honesty. And you know, honest, like sometimes one of the partners will just decide that, you know, I would like my partner to go do whatever they want, but I just don't want to know about it, you know.
That's
And
a
that
right. Keep going. Sorry.
And it works for it does work for some people. They see their partner as calmer, and they're still, you know, they're still full on in the relationship. They don't want to leave their partner. They want to stay together, but they have the opportunity to just fulfill the desires that they have, and everything is fine. So just because you're a long-term relationship, doesn't mean that you have to just have sex with your partner, you know. Your partner, and this is one thing that is really important to understand, like our partners in a long-term relationship cannot supply us with everything that we need. You know, one person cannot give you everything you need. And sometimes it's around, you know, sexual needs. Sometimes it's, you know, it's around all sorts of things. You play golf with your buddies, or you play tennis with your friends and not with your partner. And maybe there comes a point, and it's not necessarily that it's going to be like that forever either throughout the relationship. It might just be for a period of time where, you know, this person wants to go play out some kinky stuff and the other person is not interested in it at all. And they just have a little break from each other to allow for that exploration. And what I see generally is that they become closer, you know?
Because I think a lot of times sexual desires are stigmatized. Like,
Yeah.
as you said, for me, I think it's just similar things like someone enjoying video games, or you play tennis with golf. It's just like a thing that people enjoy. But a lot of times it's defined as something you must. Like you must carry out with your partner or your significant other, or you know, girlfriend or boyfriend or something like that. But it's not the case. I think it's more like a human activity that requires mutual consent. Yes. So as long as like you are, being honest with your partner and really, just talk about this and find a solution. So I think it's just like, as you mentioned, like playing golf, it's just like you do it with different people. It sounds so ridiculous, but yeah, that's what I.
Exactly. And if you're a couple and you really are into each other and you want to go on a different kind of journey, I mean, there is something for a couple that will really take the time to enter into this dimension of sexuality together and explore together. I mean, you really start to learn about other levels of the energetic body. You even at times you can transcend in the connection that you have together. Women go, you as a woman can go into like deeper levels of orgasm when you're really in a partnership that you're really trusting and your partner's really there for you to take you on the journey. And there's just so many things you can explore in a situation where you're with somebody in a long term. If you're both open to it and you're ready for it and you want to go in that direction, there's that. It can be. Like with my relationship for 23 years, it was always, we were always exploring and trying new things and going in different directions. And we really like explored deeply and it was incredible. I mean, 23 years of a great sex life is not that common.
Well, yeah, I think having a good the one of the essential parts of like building a great sex life, as you said, is just like first thing to build trust. Like you're comfortable with each other, it's just reveal yourself. Because sometimes I think it's a bit psychological, especially when it comes to different like fetish or kinky desires we have. I think everyone sort of like has that stuff to some extent, and it's really related to just like our psychological movements. For example, someone who's like to be the dominant parts who, or the other part like to be the submissive parts, we each have something needs to be satisfied psychologically. But this part is a really, I say, like sensitive and vulnerable parts for us, and it just requires like you fully trust this person, you have a stable relationship, and then you will feel comfortable to reveal this, like other people may think weird, like part two to this person.
It is nice when you can be with a person that really, really allows you to be you and allows you, but like can hold a space for you to drop into deeper levels of your desires. And sometimes it's really weird and crazy and wild, and especially for the feminine who often doesn't have that kind of space, and she's generally quite afraid to allow herself to go there, like to become wild, like to really let herself go at deep levels of her desire. But if you have a partner that is there for you, or if you have to let yourself do it ultimately, but if you're in a partnership and your partner is also there for you, then it can be, just such a beautiful, fun time and a deep understanding and an expansion of your own being, really.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, and also a lot of times when people are talking about sex, they, especially in the very beginning, as when, sorry, because in the very beginning, when I first learned about there's an occupation in this world called like sex coach, I'm actually a bit like confused because I don't know what can we do with a sex coach. And honestly speaking, I wouldn't like to reveal the detailed part of my sex life or my relationship issue with the other person. Like, okay, my boyfriend isn't getting hard and he's, not building the stamina, he's whatever. It just make me feel like it's really, awkward to say those things to like a person you just know. And I guess you like answered this question for me pretty well. Like, it's not all about those details. It's more about, first of all, learning what sex is and then learning about what both of the party wants and what can we do to improve this situation. Because usually in lifetime, because usually we don't have much chances to talk about sex because it's definitely not a dinner table like topic.
Unfortunately.
Yes. So we do need some like safe space, first of all, to talk about like these topics, especially those awkward
Exactly.
moments, in a relationship. And then is that, you know, when two people, they're pretty frustrated with this issue, it seems unlikely that they're going to stay calm and objective and like giving constructive advice on this matter. So I think
it's a very vulnerable place to be. And I'm an extremely non-judgmental person. Like, I've seen a lot, I've done a lot, I've been to a lot of places, and I think people feel really safe with me because I do go into asking very intimate questions to people. Mm-hmm. But just like you said, most people don't have anyone that they can talk to. Even people's own therapist or psychologist just don't go there because they themselves don't know how to go there. It's a very specific kind of job where in order to talk about it, you have had to experience a lot of it, and really to understand it, you have to know it and get it. And you have to be still, I explore to this day, you know, I'm always looking out for what kind of interesting things are going on around the field of sexuality, who's, you know, what kind of things are people doing and bringing out now. And because it really, it's my world and it interests me. And I think it's the core of who we are as human beings. It's a core element, because this sexual energy is, you know, connected to our creative energy, to, you know, a big part of our the life in us. When your sexual energy is closed down, you're closing down part of your ability to really like live fully, to really express fully, to really be fully, you know, because there's all that fear in there about, you know, the genitals and the sexual acts and things sexual and desires. And it's so dark and dirty and naughty, and, you know, nobody wants to go there. And it's been given, like you say, it's really stigmatized and it's taboo, and you don't talk about it with anyone or say anything. But I'm like trying to help people break through these taboos and stigmatizations, because I know that it transforms people's lives when they're able to open up to who they are as a sexual being, and to be comfortable with it, and to let go of traumas, and to step into desires that they have that they can express. I mean, there are people that hold on to desires, and I talk to them and they're in their 70s and they're still thinking about a desire they've had since their 20s. That they haven't been able to talk about with anybody.
Yeah, that's pretty, you know,
that's
sad.
What I'm talking about, like closing your life force down.
Yeah, like you feel pretty vulnerable and isolated. And that means a huge loss for part of your life experience. Well, for all those years of sex coaching, are there any interesting or challenging coaching experiences you'd like to share?
Interesting or challenging coaching experiences with couples or singles, you're saying?
Whatever, just like probably the weirdest or the most interesting one.
The weirdest scenario.
Yes. We can skip this question if you don't feel like to.
Well, I mean, I've worked in a lot of different kinds of capacities, and you know, I've worked with people that have very, very strong desires that are very kinky desires.
Mm-hmm.
That are very specific to them, you know, something that, you know, and I realize that people have sometimes very specific desires that they want to play out that scares them, or that they, you know, they look for people that can potentially help them. And sometimes it's challenging because they're, you know, they may seem very weird to other people, but I do encourage people to, you know, I say there's always somebody out there that's going to want to play out your desire, you know, but you have to be able to talk about it at some point and bring it up in the conversation, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, I know a lot of scenarios like that where the kinks maybe seem very like, ooh, very strange to other people.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, and it's not so difficult for me as it is really for the person who's struggling, right? I don't think I have had like, oh my God, I guess the hardest situations are if somebody comes and I discover that there is some really serious sexual trauma.
Oh, yeah.
And that I would say 90% of people have some kind of sexual trauma when I talk to them. It can't, you know, can't be avoided that we get into that.
What are
but sometimes
what are the common, sorry, like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just like curious what are the common sexual drama like and how we can
Oh.
support them.
I mean, it ranges, and it really depends on how that person was affected by it. Because, I've had scenarios where someone had a sexual trauma that she's been stopped in her ability to move forward sexually, and we go back and deep, and the trauma is actually something quite subtle. It's like an uncle who said a few things that were sexual innuendos, and maybe just, touched her once or something that was very strange, but was enough to lock her there. To, scenarios where it can be extremely, extremely intense, where there's a lot of physical abuse from maybe a father, and
Oh
it goes
my
on for
God.
years and years, or, a mother. And they're, usually they can function to a certain degree sexually, but there's a point where it just stops. It's like, because they're frozen. They're
Yeah.
frozen in that part of their energetic body,
Yeah.
around what had happened to them. So sometimes I will refer people to other people, but I've done a lot of my own study and reading around sexual trauma, and because it comes up so much, and I really try to help just open. What we try to do is like try to unfreeze that moment so that they can breathe, and we can it can ripple into their life, like ripple the energy can ripple into a more like in a more pleasurable way, like separating like violent sex to pleasurable sex, and then opening it up. And it's a process for some people, and that would be the most challenging if it's very, very intense. And even scenarios where people are carrying on trauma that was held from grandmothers, long time ago.
Grandmothers?
Yeah.
Okay, that's unexpected. And
No, not
yeah.
grandmothers, not grandmothers doing anything to them, but grandmothers that were affected, like had some kind of sexual abuse, and the daughter, the grandchild is still holding
Oh,
on to that,
yeah, I understand.
like ancestral trauma.
Oh, gotcha. Well, that's something really, it's something really, really like sad and unfortunate. And I can't even like feel, because when they're unfreezing the moment, it's extremely, extremely excruciating for any individual who's been through this kind of experience, because you just have to look back at that moment. And
Yeah.
yeah, I think for this, we will definitely need some professionals to intervene to
Yeah.
guide us through this whole process. Otherwise, it's gonna be really dangerous if you're doing this by yourself. And sometimes when people who've gone through these kind of experience, they have this like severe psychological pressure that eventually even like affect their physical like functions. And
Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely. It affects their entire body and their entire being. So,
Yeah.
and it's a gentle approach. You have to go in gently, little step at a time, and then you're working at a deep level of where the trauma existed, and you're also working at the present moment of creating new pathways, new stories, opening to new possibilities, trying new things to help open up their body, to get them more connected to who they are and connected to their body, loving their body more, looking at, really going into what pleasurable sexuality is, kind of working at both ends at times. And I've seen like amazing results where people are able to let go, release that energy they've been holding on, and move forward into their lives. Like, amazing, amazing. So,
Yes.
if people are ready to do it, yeah. And I would say like 90% of people are dealing with something, holding on to something. And it might not be a physical sexual abuse. It can be beliefs that they're holding on to about sex that they learned from maybe from their parents, like that sex
Right.
is bad or naughty or dirty or disgusting, or whatever they heard that they still believe.
Yeah, this kind of like sexual trauma is actually more common for women sometimes, because at a certain age, like parents that's who are too protective may tell you, hey, sex is bad and whatever, or like orgasmic release is shameful, something like this, but it's just not the case.
Yeah. And no, usually it's parents who themselves are not, they don't understand about sexuality and have had their own trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all they know. It's all they know. And so they're just teaching what they know. They don't want their child to get hurt. So they're warning them basically. But it does affect them when it comes to their own performance and their own connection with intimate connection with somebody else.
Yeah. So suppose like if one of the party is having a sexual trauma, how could the other party, like what can the other party do to create a safe space and support this person? Suppose they're a couple. Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have to really go into a really trusting scenario. You have to go really slow. You have to be able to talk about it and find out what really went on. I suggest that you have a third person involved that can help lead you through, because it can be really, really difficult for the partner who has a spouse who they find out later that has been through some serious sexual trauma. And you can work together with a coach or a therapist or a psychologist, you know, whoever you feel the most comfortable with. You know, find somebody who you feel comfortable with, and you'll have to just slowly open together. And you know, it's going to be a slow step-by-step process. And it will, if you can go through it with your partner, it can be extremely healing for both of you. And I would say, you know, most clients that I have worked with are able to get through to another level of their being and open up to new possibilities once, you know, they've connected with it. But they have to really want to make a difference, make a change. They have to really be ready to do, you know, different kinds of exercises and go into places that are going to be very uncomfortable for a while in order to get to that other end, to get to the other end of it, you know?
Yeah, right.
So you have to be extremely supportive and ready to, maybe it's going to, it might be a long haul.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of work, and it's a long journey for both people. And I guess, yeah, just be supportive and gentle. I think people will get there.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and get someone to help you go through it too, you know,
professionally.
It's nice to have a different perspective. Someone who knows how to ask the right questions, gives your partner a break to like, just to support you through, you know, the steps that you're going through, but not to be your psychologist, let's say, or not to be your coach, but to be your supporter.
Yeah, so your cheerleader in this journey.
Yeah, your cheerleader, exactly.
Yeah. Well, so because a lot of times it's a case by case scenario for different couples about like sex life. So how do you think they should have a healthy, what's the most ideal frequency like for people to have a satisfactory sex life?
To have sex, I mean, what's the frequent, most sort of healthy, frequent, a number of times to have sex?
Yes, like what's the frequency? I'm sorry. Yeah, am I? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. That's good.
I've heard this question being asked to other people, and you know, some people have very exact answers. It should be this number of times a week or month or whatever. And I really don't think that it's the same for anybody, and it really depends on who you are, the kind of people that you are. You know, you might be happy with once a week, you might be happy with once a month, you might be happy with every day, you might be happy with every hour. I mean, it really depends on what the couple is, where both people are happy and joyous, and you're having, you know, I would say it's more important, the difference between having like kind of like, there's a sex coach who talks about it like this, and I like her analogy about having like junk food sex or having gourmet sex. Mm-hmm. You know, so are you exploring and going into places where you're growing sexually, you know, or are you just like having sex just to really quickly get over it and move on? You know, I don't think that is really the exploration into the sexual dimension. I'm not going to judge anybody on that. Sometimes people, that's all they want in the relationship.
Yeah.
So, you know, to say that, oh, you know, you should have sex 3 or 4 times a week, and that means that you have a good sex life. I don't really believe in saying stuff like that, because I think, and I've seen just so many different couples doing so many different kinds of things, that it's really different for everybody. Right. And if you're unhappy, and it's not, and you don't feel like you're getting enough connection and attention, then you have to make a change and find some other way to do it. If you're happy and it works for you, and once a week or once a month is fine, and you both are very happy with that, okay.
Yeah, I agree. It's because when it comes to frequency, it's really related to people's energy level, and that's gonna correlate with tons of things in life. So I guess it's really a case-by-case scenario, but still, communication is key. And
the thing is too, like, the more sex you have, the more sex you want.
Yeah.
So right. The less sex you have, the less sex that you're gonna generally want. So, you know, I encourage people to have sex and explore, but, you know, not just penetration, but like try different things sexually and incorporate sexual innuendos in your day, and be sexual and sensual with each other. Send each other sensual notes, you know, like you can have all sorts of things that are very sensual and erotic happening between you, and there's no penetration, you know, for a week or 2 weeks, but you're both very excited and charged and turned on, and, you know, turned on by your partner, turned on by your life, turned on in your body, you know. So I think that's more important to cultivate, you know.
Yes, right. And let's circle back a bit, because like frequency is like an issue for many couples because of the unmatched libido, as we just mentioned before. And sometimes pornography, they just came into play, especially when a partner wants it, the other partner doesn't want it. Probably they will watch this porn and, you know, masturbate, whatever. But how do you think pornography comes into play in a sexual relationship for like couples?
Well, pornography can be used for the two of you to watch together and to show each other what you like, what gets you turned on.
Yeah.
But most pornography is not really showing what real sex is. You know, exactly. It's a show. It's staged. It's a show. It's over exaggerated. I mean, there is some porn now that has gone into sort of created more natural kind of scenarios. I mean, there's lots of porn. There's all sorts of porn, I guess, all sorts of porn. But it's not the same as being physical with a real person in real life, being really present with an energetic being. I mean, that's just a whole other planet. And I find that people that are watching too much porn, especially with men who come to me and say that they feel like they're addicted to porn. They've lost connection with women physically. They don't know what to do. They're just all these expectations because they've got these ideas of what it looks like in porn and what they should be doing and how they should be acting. And I'm like, no, we're going to go way back down to like connecting at an energetic level, feeling each other going. It's like a dance, and how, you know, what is next and what's the next move. There's nothing organized. It's just like a free flow of energy moving and desire building, you know?
Yeah.
So porn can be kind of destructive in that way if it's overused, but it can be fun thing to explore and see what's going on out there. If you want to see, you know, any kind of pornography exists, I'm sure anything you want to see is going to be there available. And then go live it, like go live your life and go with real people, feel your real body with real bodies, you know, that's just so different.
Exactly. I felt like sometimes pornography, they're, especially for men, they're reflecting a really unrealistic, like, image of women, and sometimes of men. Like a lot of times those scenes are exaggerated. This is not how we feel when we are like having sex, but it's acted like way that way. And I really love that when you're saying you just need to let the passion flow and feel it, because many times when people are having sex or in any kinds of really sexual relationship, they can be a little bit judgmental, or they enter this kind of relationship with expectations. And these expectations can be biased or with their previous experience, as you said, some unrealistic, even some unrealistic expectations from probably pornography influence or any stereotypes. So I guess what makes sex so like captivating and attractive and healthy in some way is that we have to be in a really innate stage where we are not judgmental, we're relaxed, we're safe, protected, and then we just be yourself and enjoy the moment.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a written play, you know, like a porno movie might be. It's real life, and it's just,
yeah,
it's, you know, sexual, going to the sexual dimension is really allowing yourself to go out of the time space reality.
Yeah.
And go into a place where it's just about energy and flow and desire, right, and sensuality and passion. And, you know, there's no time, there's no space. You just go into this connection, and it's, you know, it's a beautiful feeling when you can really let yourself get out of your head. You know, so what, he doesn't get an erection, so what, you just slow down and you start over, you build up your desire. Guess so what, she doesn't get an orgasm. Like, you don't chase orgasms.
Yeah.
You just flow with the energy. And the more you allow the energy to build and grow, and you feel each other, and you,
right,
you know, the more exciting it is. And yes, you will eventually have incredible orgasms, and you will have erections and penetration and all of that. You don't need to force it. You don't need to, you know, plan it.
Yeah.
It will happen if you just allow it.
Right. And sometimes I have this feeling about having sex. I have a weird metaphor that is, I feel when you're having sex, it's not just like penetration. It just made me feel loved, cherished, and made me feel like a baby swimming in mom's womb, because just that level of safety and security and relax. So yeah, that's my take on that. And yeah, so that circles back to what we were talking about, trust and communication, because this level of relief and security is not built by really transient relationships. It's built with a foundation, and this foundation is between the communication and the relationship between the couples, and that's essential, I guess. That means, like, you know, sex is not something just like a release. Sometimes it is. Well, if you're building a sexual, long-term sexual relationship, it's more like you're connecting with the other person in a really, really deep level. And yeah, that's what I think a lot of people fail to recognize this or to do.
Yeah, people, you know, it's scary for people to, love is scary.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
To really open your heart, like, and open your legs and open your body, you know, it's scary for many people because we're told to protect ourselves, keep closed down, keep proper, keep everything in control, and you know, sex is about letting go of everything, so that you can feel free. You can really feel free with your partner. You can let your body do what it needs to do, and so there's a lot of fear. And so, you know, that's my work too, is it's helping break down that fear for people, so they can start to feel free again to express who they are.
Right. Well, yeah. Before we wrap up, so I'm wondering, is there any suggestions about couple intimacy that you like to share with our listeners?
I get a lot of, I work with a lot of couples. And one thing that couples do is they kind of point fingers at their partner a lot. Like, oh, you know, yeah, he doesn't want to have sex, or she doesn't want to have sex, or she, he, you know. And I would say, if you're in the place, that situation of like, there's just not good sex, you feel like your partner is not providing or showing any, you know, anything very sexual, just stop for a second and just focus on yourself. And how can you build the pleasure within your body? How can you love your body again and love your own being? And how can you connect to your desire? So before you even start blaming your partner, and I do count, you know, it's, you can't just go around blaming anyways, but you have to become very intimate with yourself, you know? So I do a lot of kind of self-pleasure exercises with people in couples, where you're doing self-pleasure, and that's not just about masturbation. It's about, you know, just doing things that are pleasurable for yourself, including just touching your body in different ways, taking care of yourself in pleasurable ways, you know, so that, you know, if you don't have that energy in you, that sexual energy, that energy of pleasure for yourself, it's very hard to then come together with a partner and start to create like a sexual relationship.
Yes. And,
you know, well, and if you can build it in yourself, and this is a whole other conversation about feminine and masculine sexual energy, but there are ways that the feminine can build her own feminine sexual energy, and it will affect the masculine, or the masculine can build his sexual energy and it will affect the feminine. Mm-hmm. But you have to do it within yourself first. And yeah. Once you change things that are going on within yourself, you'll see the change happening outside of you. You'll see your partner change.
Sometimes when people don't know how to set the boundaries and when they're having trouble communicating with the other person, it's a lot of cases it's related to they don't know what they need. And they don't have, they don't have this self like exploration journey. And knowing that, okay, where is my boundary? What are the things that I prefer? What are the things that I will definitely say no to? And I guess that's, first we have to deal with the self, and then we communicate with the other person and set the boundary that we're comfortable with.
Well, and you know, we have to understand that our desires will change many times in our lifetime.
Yeah.
So maybe you have a big desire for something in particular, and you finally tell your partner, and now you're playing it out. But then after a while, it's like, okay, well, I don't really want to do this anymore. So now I have to connect back in and find out what I'm interested in now. And it'll be something else, and it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to change and shift and take breaks and, you know, go back in and figure out the next moves.
Right. Yeah. Well, Liana, where can our listeners find you and learn more about your coaching services?
Well, I have a YouTube channel under my name, Liana Walden. I have, I think, 290 videos there right now. So you can get lots of information there. It has all my, in the descriptions, has all my contact information. I usually talk about the different programs that I have available. I do consults for people. So you can sign up for a 20-minute consultation first to find out sort of what I could offer you, or what program might work for you, or what steps you'd like to take. So I would suggest going to the YouTube channel, and you'll get a lot of information about me there. And then we can go from there.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Liana. It's such an inspiring conversation, and it's great pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, great pleasure talking to you as well. Thank you so much for the interview. It was awesome.
Great. I'm glad that you enjoy it. We will finish editing this like podcast in 2 to 3 weeks, and we'll post it, write a transcript about it with your contact information on it, so some of our listeners may, you know, to click your profile page or go to your YouTube for more information.
Sounds great. It's been my pleasure. We will talk again.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to, you can feel free to leave this meeting, and I'm going to wrap up everything.
Okay. Take care. Right. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sexopedia. If you're interested in exploring more topics related to us, the adult industry, sex ed, and relationship issues, please check out lovenesso.com. We have a wealth of information and resources that will satisfy your curiosity. Stay tuned for more captivating stories. Goodbye for now. I'll see you next time.